Hey everyone, and welcome to another Hyperspace Broadcast minisode, which is an episode where we don't talk about something that aired on Toonami, but instead usually talk about another anime related to the main series that we've been watching. This month of August is Tomino month, in case you missed the last episode, and as such we are watching another thing created by Yoshiyuki Tomino, Aura Battler Dunbine. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
So, Aura Battler Dunbine is a pretty weird series because, like most of the things Tomino made, it's a mech series or a mecha series, but it's also like a high fantasy thing. So, these mechs are fighting like alongside dudes on unicorns sometimes.
It all seems like
fighting
someone's
in castles. It's really crazy.
It sounds like an amazing airbrushed van.
Sure. I was going to say it sounds like a like D&D campaign kind of thing almost. Like just integrating these different things. And that's cool. So what's weird about this show, though, in case that wasn't weird enough, is that it begins with our main character. I believe his name is Shozama.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he is like a fucking motocross bike guy who's doing a trick on a highway, I guess. I don't know. It's very unclear because the scene is like 10 seconds long.
These guys come up next to him. They're like, hey, let's fuck with this guy. Like they're also on bikes.
Yeah. And then there's like dudes in a semi and it's like, fucking kill him.
It's classic like motocross or not motocross, but like classic like motocycle anime. Like, yeah, let's fuck with this guy. And it's like, dude, by fucking with that guy, you're going to murder him.
So then he jumps over a car and gets sucked into this portal and falls into Bison Well, this fantasy world. Yeah, this fantasy world where, you know, mechs exist, and it's kind of like below us, but still on Earth. It's this weird explanation. So
I believe in the Japanese, it was called Middle Earth.
Yeah, so. Which, no surprise, we watched a dubbed version of this, and there are a few minor differences, mostly in character names, of course.
Yeah.
So Sho is now in Bison Well, and he is under the, I guess, like, command of this guy who's building up these aura battlers, as they're called, these mechs, essentially, who are built by another guy from the, like, above ground, I guess you could call it.
He came from the Valley of Silicon.
Yeah, right. The fucking A. The Valley of Silicon. His name, Shot Weapon, because you have to have the stupidest names possible.
Yeah, was Tomino working on it? No, it's got to have a really dumb name in there, right?
I think it's just like, is it mecha anime? Okay,
yeah,
well, there's going to be some dumb names. So Shot Weapon is from Earth and developed these aura battlers using like Earth technology, kind of. So
I think they specifically call out like microchips.
Yeah, right, right.
He knows how to do that.
Yeah, so that's a thing. And then they're abducting people from Upper Earth because they're more technically inclined than the people of Bison Well, so they can pilot aura battlers easier. And this guy, Drake Luft, wants to use them to basically conquer all the other kingdoms. Meanwhile, there's a resistance led by a guy named Neil Gibbons, who has pink hair. And he is joined
by... a pink mullet. Afro mullet.
And he is joined by a character named Marvel Frozen, who is also... from the above world, and she's basically Sho's love interest. Sho starts the battle fighting alongside a blonde American guy named Todd Guinness, who throws around a racial slur a lot.
Yeah,
he's weird.
Constantly using the short J word for a Japanese person, just all over the place in the first episode. It's like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah, he pretty much exclusively calls Sho that for the first, like, three episodes. Yeah. And he's basically kind of the Char of this show. They start fighting alongside... Yeah, right. They start fighting alongside each other, and then Sho, you know, joins the rebellion, because of course he does, while Todd stays on with Drake Luft's forces.
Todd. So,
yeah, Todd. The most normal name possible for a guy like this. So that's basically the setup for the series. Now, it's pretty interesting, honestly. I like the fantasy elements and the mecha stuff. I think that's a pretty cool combination. And this was not the first Sho to do it, to be fair. There were a couple of other shows that preceded it. Whose names I can't remember off the top of my head. But it's not exactly a new idea. One thing that's really crazy about this to me, especially since, you know, just based on how our recording schedule worked out, basically we watched Dugrum and then immediately started watching this because we already had all of the Gundam episodes for last block watched. So coming on the heels of Dugrum, this Sho moves so fucking fast that it's impossible to tell what's going on.
Like, yeah, versus Dugrum, one of the slowest shows I've ever watched.
Like, this show's first episode is just literally like, you know, it starts with Sho nearly getting run over by some random dudes on the road. He's in Bison Well. Okay, so we got to introduce all these factions now. All right, these are the Aura Battlers. These are how they're made. This is the guy who made them.
Here's how some of the magic works that brought you over to this world.
Yeah, right. It's just all this shit that just keeps going and going. The first episode is so stuffed with information. And fortunately, it starts to kind of, you know, even out after that. For the most part, the shows after the first are pretty straightforward, but that first episode is but that first episode is burdened by having to explain the setup, basically. Which is kind of weird. One of the things about this Sho that I'm not sure I like, it's an interesting thing, but I kind of wish that it just took place in a fantasy world and we didn't have to have, like, a guy from the real world coming into it. Just for the sake of... Because, I mean, I get why they do that. Like, it, among other things, makes exposition a hell of a lot easier to deliver. Because that guy doesn't know fucking anything. But, like, I don't know. It's just this really weird explanation, and it feels kind of tortured. Oh,
you know what's crazy? They bring over... I totally forgot looking at my notes. In the first episode, they bring over two other dudes. So it's not just Todd. It's also Sho.
And oh, yeah, then there's guy, that other guy.
And the third guy just fucking gets killed immediately.
Yeah, in the first episode, he gets shot down. And then he's never spoken of again. Yeah, I honestly forgot that even happened.
Yeah, he's just killed like nothing.
There's this subplot, basically, where the daughter of Drake Luft, Emily, is in some kind of romantic relationship with the leader of the resistance guys, Neil Gibbons. And so we watched 8 episodes of this Sho. On 3 separate occasions, they attempt to mount a rescue attempt to take Emily away from her father and fail. 3 times.
Yeah, all
in
3
8
times.
Episodes.
And it's ridiculous.
And the last one was on the 8th episode, and everything seems to be going fine. And I was like, you know what? If they fuck it up this time, I'm done with this Sho. Like, this is the last episode we're going to watch anyway, but God, I can't take much more of this. And then her own mother threatens to murder her, or at least stab out her eye in order to prevent Sho from getting away with her. And the Selkie that used the magic that got him into this world, because of course Sho wants to go home.
Now, to be fair, that was unexpected at least. Like, well, okay, I expected her to not be able to escape because it keeps happening, but I did not expect the mom to be like all threatening and shit. I thought that was a pretty cool, crazy turn.
It was. I mean, I would have thought it was pretty cool if it was like the second time that an escape attempt failed, but on the third, I was just so done with the basic idea that I was like, I don't care. Like, go away. Also, it's just a little weird that they're constantly, like, risking all of these people. Because the Resistance seems to be made of about 5 people,
yeah.
Of course, in a cool ship. Because that's, you know, it's white-based, sort of. And, like, they're risking, like, everyone in order to save this princess, who, in all fairness, is, like, pretty safe, you know? It's not like
she's...
Yeah,
where she is.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, to be fair, she is to be married off to another character named Ban Bannings. So that's not great, obviously. But, like, I don't know. You're going to kill him anyway. So maybe it's not the worst thing ever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I get why they're trying to save her, but at the same time, there's this bit where Sho is, like, so pissed off about it, and I kind of see where he's coming from.
Yeah, it's like, why am I risking my life for this, exactly?
Yeah, right. So, yeah, it's an interesting show. I don't really want to watch more of it, if I'm honest, because I don't think I can watch another attempt to save Emily that fails.
I'm probably going to watch more. There's some stuff I've heard. Like, I think they actually, like, go up to Upper Earth.
Oh, yeah. See, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
You know, there, like, is...
it's fancy shit meeting real world and all that. But
yeah, right. There's one episode that's pretty weird where most episodes of this show, much like Gundam, start with basically a narrator giving you an introduction to the world of Bison Well.
yeah.
Which eventually ends with this shot of Sho, like, flying through, you know, a bunch of flashing lights, screaming very
portal.
Quietly. Yeah.
Yeah, screaming, going,
like, and of course, that really never dumb. Ceases to amaze me. But but one episode is different in that the narrator explains that there's no moon on Bison Well because, you know, they're. Like, the Earth's crust, I guess, is between them and the actual sky. So there's no moon on Bison Well, but there is this group of fucking bioluminescent fish that gather at the bottom of the ocean, which is the sky of Bison Well, so it's kind of like a moon. And then they proceed to, you know, go to the Valley of the Moon. And not to split hairs here, but if they don't have a moon, why do they have a Valley of the Moon?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's just my pedantic self, but come on.
And not only that, but another character just explains
yes.
the exact thing
yeah,
that
Marvel,
the narrator just told us.
Marvel explains it to Sho, like, later in the episode, pretty much word for word. And I was just like, like, why the hell did the narrator have to explain this?
Yeah, I got it the first time. Thanks.
Well, not just that, but, like, it worked fine when Marvel's explaining it. Like, it makes sense. It doesn't feel totally out of place. So why have the narrator explain it? And then the next episode, they're just back to the old opening thing. Like, it's so random. It's a weird show.
Yeah.
Now, I would be interested if some more... I mean, I'm sure some more stuff will happen. Like, these episodes are kind of set up.
No shit. More things will occur.
Sure. But, I mean, you know, it can't be a show of just failing to rescue Emily for 50 episodes or whatever.
They had a moment, too, in, like, the second or third time where they try and rescue her, where it was like, oh, Emily's gonna die. Like, they're gonna... Tomino's gonna Tomino this shit, and she's gonna die really tragically by just falling to her death.
Oh, no, that's in the first step. That's the first time, because
really?
Sho is carrying her in the Dunbine, and then he, like, drops her or something into the woods.
Oh, no, but there's a time later on where she's, like, on the, they're, like, by a cliffside or something.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, it's a weird show. I honestly
don't... Is that weird? I quite enjoyed watching it, actually. The dub has a lot of accent work, you know.
Oh,
a lot
God,
of,
yeah, it does. It's
like,
got a
you know,
lot
it's fantasy,
of...
so everyone has to be British.
Yeah, everyone's got some kind of English, like, Scottish Isles accent. They all sound English or Scottish or Irish. One of the three, pretty much.
Sort of.
Well, they all definitely... sound like someone doing an, like, half-rate impression.
Yeah, yeah. But I grew to like
those
it.
People.
There's something about it that I just grew to kind of like watching the show. And the dub, despite it seeming like I'm sure any like actual Scottish person listening to Neil Gibbons' voice is gonna be like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Or maybe, but, I don't know, like the drunk Irish fairy.
That one can go. We can do with that.
That one I was a little like, eh, okay.
But I actually quite like the dub. Really like Cho's voice. Good. Yeah, it's really well done. They have a lot of like sound editing stuff too in it, where it's like
sometimes doesn't work super well, if I'm honest. Yeah. Like they do a lot of audio panning, so you know, but it'll happen mid conversation. So if you have a shot of two people talking and then you like cut to a wide shot, they'll make them sound more distant.
Yeah.
But even if it's in the middle of a line of dialogue, like,
or if
so
someone's
sometimes
like talking and they walk away.
Yeah, right. So they just kind of fade really quickly. And it's I appreciate the effort. Sometimes it sounds quite good. Like there's one scene where they're in the cockpit of their ship and it keeps cutting to a shot outside of the cockpit while they're talking, and the sound is a little muffled, and that's like a cool effect. But you know, when someone walks off screen and their audio pans with them and just becomes very quiet all of a sudden for no apparent reason, it's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm enjoying Tamino Month so far.
Yeah, me too.
I am excited for the next minisode that we're gonna do, which I think.
Do you have one planned? There's a lot of choices.
Yeah, I would like to watch Space Runaway Ideon. Just because like I've seen some of it. It's an interesting show. It's he did a show earlier that was kind of a super robot deconstruction that I'd be interested in checking out, but apparently the animation is really terrible. So we might watch like an episode of that and then watch, you know, the first eight or however many of Ideon as well.
What's the other one called?
I don't remember.
That's fine. We'll figure it out.
It's Zambot 3, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the animation staff was like at some points, like one or two people. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Now, okay. I don't like directly referencing that we use Wikipedia for some of this stuff, but looking quickly at the Space Runaway Ideon page, there's a link to Sanrio, and apparently it exists in the Sanrio universe.
I have no idea what Sanrio is, so...
Sanrio is the company that makes Hello Kitty and all of Hello Kitty's family.
Oh, what?
So, I don't know how the fuck that works out. You know what? We'll try and figure it out in time.
That sounds like someone fucking around on Wikipedia to me. although I do like the idea because I know that I believe the actual ending of Ideon features the entire universe being destroyed.
Oh, no.
So I imagine they just cut to a shot of, like, Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
And then it's just, like, wiped out.
No, a Gretzko. Oh.
Yeah, no, not Retsuko. Oh. All right. Well, I think we should probably get back to watching some Gundam so that we can prepare the next episode. But, listener, do you have any interest in hearing us talk about something specific? Maybe you have a show you think we should check out. Not this month, obviously, because Tomato Month, but other times. Or if you just want to say hello, you can get a hold of us via DM on facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter @HBpod, or email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com. Join us next week for episode 3 of Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah, and please do so. It's been, you know, it's been a while in this spaceship that we're just living in. And I don't
Absolution. I think canon now.
I'm not sure if anyone else actually exists and is still alive in this universe, except for like a couple of robots.
it may be post Ideon ending universe, and we just happen to get out of it. We may be in the Sanrio universe ourselves. Who knows?
Yes. Oh no, Ideon was an autobiography by, I don't know, God.
Yeah, I guess I don't know, the id. Or Ide, I don't remember how they pronounce it.
What?
We'll talk about it in a couple of weeks. But until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And revisit us next week.